Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
641, 19 till 7, one of those mornings where the windows are all fogged up with the air conditioner, and that means summer is on its way. Mike Strain joins us now, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing great. How are you, Tommy?
I'm okay. I'm ready for summertime. Well, I don't know if I'm ready for it or not, but it's coming. There's nothing we can do about it, right?
Oh, that's right, but the tomatoes are growing. You know, we've got our crops in the ground, and they're doing very well. So, we've got about 65 to 70% of the corn's planted. We're probably about 30% of the soybeans, and we're planting rice. And so it's doing well. We're a little behind last year, but not much. So we're very excited. And if you look at it, the majority of the crops that are in the ground have already started, emerging through. We got a fair amount of rain, over the last 10 days. And so that's good. We're really looking for a good year. We're hoping the weather patterns get a little bit better. Everyone is very hopeful and, looking forward to this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Mike, about the drought that we had last year. I was thinking about that yesterday as I was looking at my lawn and knowing that you were going to come on today. Not that my lawn is an important thing to the state or not, but my lawn is just barely recovering. And I'm wondering about the farmers and the drought and what the forecast is for this year. Is it too early to tell with rain or pattern?
It is too early to tell. And I've been working closely, with Jay Grimes, the state climatologist. And we're really anxious to see if we get a shift into the La Nina weather pattern. They really are talking that that's going to happen. We will have a wetter, spring and summer. Of course, that may bring some hurricanes and tropical storms. And hopefully that we will have a wetter time versus another drought. A lot of areas, if you look at the overall soil moisture, is still, in the top 10 inches of the soil, is still less than it was last year. And it's going to take a good year, for your lawn to recover, and for many aspects. You have to think of, there's soil and there's dirt. Dirt's what's under your fingernails. Mm-hmm. Soil is living. It's a living ecosystem that is very important. And it got shocked pretty hard by the drought last year. And then especially if you have to use city water or processed water on your lawn, you really want more natural rainwater, because city water, has chemicals and additives in it and salts that, it does have an effect on your grass, and so the less irrigation water of that nature you can use, and the more natural rainwater, the better.
Ain't nothing like Mother Nature, huh?
Nothing like Mother Nature. But we're excited. The gardens are in the ground, on Strain Farms. We've got the tomatoes in the ground. We've got the onions in the ground. We've got quite a bit of corn planted and potatoes. We still don't have all of our watermelons in, but we're steadily and progressively planting and cultivating.
Is there any way to have an outlook for wildfires, Mike, or forest fires like we had last year at this point, comparing to where we were last year?
Yes, there is, and we're working on that again with the state climatologist, and we're creating a department of meteorology within my agency, and we will be gathering the data and submitting that every week into what's called the drought authors, and that's the University of Nebraska, who collate that. And they create the drought index map, and that is sent on to NOAA and then the USDA and to all of us. And they also create an index, and it's a fire index. It's called a KDMI fire index. And we look at that as a predictor of what, the conditions will be or can be for fire. We're also working. We have legislation going through on the use of prescribed fire, but also more education with, people that, and prescribed fires are necessary too. More prescribed burning you do, especially in the woodlands, the less wildfires you have. So it's managed use of fire in the woodlands, which is a tool for timber and also for other all aspects of agriculture. So we're working on many fronts to try to cut down on the incidence of wildfire. We're also doing additional training academies. The legislature is going to help us with some updates, some of our older equipment. So we're looking at this on many fronts. The only one thing we can't control is the weather. Mm. And we're going to be watching that very, very closely. And, of course, working with the new state fire marshal, Brian Adams, when we need to institute those burn bans. So we're attacking it from many different fronts, you know, training, education, more equipment. We like to get more people working to help train the volunteer fire departments on how they can interact and work with us dealing with wildfires. And hopefully we will not have the drought situation we had this year. Because, two, the other issue we're facing, there's a lot of dead pine trees that were drought damaged, and now secondarily they're getting beetles from because the tree is damaged, and you know they are throughout the entire landscape. You know, if you travel up and down the interstate system, just look up at the tops of the trees and put your eyes about 20 feet inland, you can see, and that's spread across the state.
Hey, what about equipment? Real quick, I want to get to your FEMA appointment, but equipment for like these underground fires, because that was a huge problem last year as well.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you've got to get water pumps. Now, the Corps has, and I've discussed it, you know, with legislators, that we really need to start investing in some of these big 8-inch pumps. And they are very pricey. You know, you're looking at $50,000 to $100,000 a pump for that whole system. And we need 8 or 10 of them. So that they can go and we can use that. Now, when you look at those marsh fires, those are under the jurisdictions of the local fire department. It actually doesn't fall under my jurisdiction. I'm a timbered wildland firefighter. But we need to have these available, like through the governor's office of Homeland Security, to loan out. We're very fortunate the Corps had these, and they were able to loan them to Orleans Parish to deal with that. But there are a very limited number of big pumps in the state or anywhere, and that's something we need to address, or have the National Guard have 8 or 10 of these big pumps.
Seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. Tell me about your appointment to this FEMA subcommittee. That's a big deal. Congratulations.
It is. Well, thank you. Yeah, I was asked by FEMA if I would serve on the National Advisory Council subcommittee on planning for animal welfare. It was created by an act of Congress. And I think there are about 17, 18 of us experts, or they consider us experts, in the field. And the goal is to advise the National Advisory Council of FEMA. And when they look at Louisiana, you know, we are actually the best of the best when it comes to emergency management with pets and animals. And it started with Katrina. After Katrina, Governor Blanco, we passed legislation that basically said if there's room in the boat, the pet can go. And then, you know, moving the animals with the people, because many people stayed home and would not leave because they couldn't take their dogs or the cats with them. And that has evolved. We have these very large co-location shelters. We've worked now with Red Cross, who initially would not allow pets to be co-located with their owners. Now they do. We find that works out so much better for the pets and the owners. And so to look at a national basis, we also have highly specialized equipment, custom-made trailers that we acquired, you know, through donations, actually. You know, and it started off with the Veterinary Medical Association donating through, you know, a foundation there, and Walter J. Ernstburn Foundation. Then Banfield Foundation donated a second one. Humane Society has donated a third one. And these are special, self-contained, can go anywhere. Two go under semis, and we can, you know, house animals, and keep animals. So looking at all that, all of our policies, everything we've developed, going back all the way to Katrina, we're going to, you know, bring that to bear to help develop similar policies across the United States, hurricanes, fires, floods, whatever. And so I'm, you know, thankful that I was chosen. I also serve on the board of experts for the Stevenson's disaster Management Institute at LSU. And so, you know, to bring this to bear, you know, so that in the future, this information, these policies, these procedures, so that can be better utilized across America.
Nothing will teach you like having gone through it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Mike, I want to talk about part of that also is like when it comes to ranchers and chicken farmers and those kind of things, when a storm or fire threatens, you got to deal with that as well, I would think, as part of this. We're talking to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. He's been appointed to the FEMA PAW subcommittee, and that is the, what is it, Mike, the acronym? The Planning for Animal Wellness Act. That's what it is, PAW, yeah. Act. 650. 651, 9 for time for traffic now, WWO.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Talking to Mike Strain, our friend, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, new member of the PAW Subcommittee for FEMA, Planning for Animal Welfare. Mike, when it comes to ranchers and farmers and chickens and cows and sheep and all that stuff, what can you do when there's a big natural disaster?
So what we do here when the hurricanes, as soon as the winds get below 40 knots, we send up surveillance aircraft. And so we will fly the impacted areas, and they have onboard computer systems to where we map out, you know, where the animals are. We get estimation of livestock and damages. And based on that, then we know how to begin rescue if we need to rescue them, or where we need to bring hay and water and supplies, and what those logistics, because that's a big deal. The logistics is a very big deal, and that begins, you know, that part of the operation when you have a hurricane or a tornado. Now, with fires, you know, you've got to know, you know, where you're at, where they're headed, and the whole idea is to have a way to evacuate them. So to identify ahead of time where you can bring this livestock, and, you know, here we're lucky we have Lamar Dixon. We have some very large facilities in Louisiana that we can bring livestock. We also have been working for years with cattlemen that have the cattle and livestock on the coast. They have a relationship through the Farm Bureau and through the Cattlemen's Association. They have places to bring their livestock. And so it just depends every situation. The big key is to have accurate data to devise a plan that can be conducted in an efficient manner. Because, one, in those areas, you don't have fuel. You don't have road access. There are many hurdles. And then you have to have somewhere to go. And so we've done many things. And one of the things in Louisiana we have in Roseland, the National Guard, is their huge logistics depot. And that's an old property that once belonged to the department that we transferred. We sold it to the U.S. Army. But also in Lake Charles at the Lacassine facility is a depot area where we can house equipment and supplies. And then we have our, you know, you have the GOSEP, which is the Governor's Office of Homeland Security, the facility there by the state police here in Baton Rouge. But we also have sub-EOCs. We have one at the department that's manned round the clock. And so everything is done in a fashion, so it's logical, but also it's, you know, we try to make it a well-oiled machine because everybody's under pressure, and you have limited time, and you've got to get it done. And as you say, failure is not an option. So we all work well together.
And not just for the animal welfare, but you got to talk about a tremendous investment here, a lot of money involved. Mike, I'm allowed one dumb question, so let me use it here.
Go ahead.
When it comes to a fire is one thing, obviously, but when it comes to a hurricane, other than flying debris, can a herd of cattle weather a storm? Do they just kind of lay down on the ground and ride it out or what?
Well, they will, but the problem is the rising tide in water. So if you're in, say you're in Lower Plaquemines Parish, we would have to open the gates and get them up on the levees because the water will get 12 to 15 deep across the fields. I can remember my own farm. The only way to find my farm was to know the corresponding area on the Mississippi levees.
But flood aside,
our farm's underwater.
Flood aside, Mike, can they weather high winds and all right? They just lay down close to the ground?
They will lay down close to each other. High winds, they can weather that, and they can do very, very well. The enemies we have are floods and salt water, those two things. And then you have to deal in the aftermath to get them some fresh water because they have a short survival time with salt water. That's another thing we do with pumps and getting them water. And if you want to see something, think about dropping water from a Black Hawk helicopter into a water tub.
Mike,
that was a tremendous educational experience of its own.
I bet so. I learned something every time you're on. Thank you, Mike Strain. We'll come back, talk with the Pelican Institute about the session.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.